Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Wow, we got a great show for you. You know, this week has been an incredible week. I think we've had, four incredible shows. This one's going to be really good as well. Mitch Thrower is with us. He's an entrepreneur, financier, author, 22-time Ironman triathlete. Wow.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I do the cotton candy race, right?
Yep. Is that the three different flavors of cotton candy as fast as you can?
Yeah. Anyhow, he is an amazing guy. We have watched his career. In fact, I remember back years and years ago, I interviewed Mitch when he was just kind of launching his whole internet career here in the Southern California area. And what he's done in the last 20 years has been phenomenal. You're going to want to hear this story because he's got some really cool things under his belt. And what he's doing now is pretty awesome. You're going to want to hear what he's doing now. And maybe he can give us a few secrets about how you can be successful, hopefully. So you want to listen for that. We're going to talk to Mitch in just a few minutes. Couple things before we get started. We have one of... Wait, where is she? I need Leah. Come over here. It is a special day for Leah. She is...
23.
How old?
23.
You're in your 23rd birthday?
23.
23.
23rd.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Aww.
I love that you put that in there. Just for you, Leah. Thank you.
Happy birthday. So you are now 23.
Yeah, it scares me just a little bit.
You're getting scared at 23.
Well, it's getting closer to 25, and then 25 starts going downhill. You know,
seriously.
Okay, not downhill, but you get older, okay?
You know, you're sitting around a table with a bunch of old people, right?
I know, I'm aware. Sorry.
You're all red now. You're embarrassed because you just said that, right?
We all have a very big surprise look on our face. Just saying.
Okay, I should have rephrased that. Not downhill, just older. And that's
it. We're like aged cheese or wine. We get better, just softer.
We do. Yeah. Take it from me. We do.
So you are in school.
Yes.
You're at
USD.
USD.
Yeah, I start September 6th. And yeah, a lot's been happening. I'm moving in on campus September 4th. So
moving out of home?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Freedom.
I know.
You're going to go to the dorms?
Yeah, I'm staying with three roommates. Never met them before. So that'll be really cool. Mainly I went on campus just to like see what it's like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I wanted to meet more students who were on campus because being a commuter, most of my college years, I never really got to meet any of the students I did get to meet them, but not like on a personal level, like not being able to, you know, really make friends with them because most of the people, you know, just go to their classes just to do class. They don't come to actually make friends. So as a commuter, it was like going to class and leaving. So I mainly, you know, that's why I mainly came or why I decided to move on campus was to...
You know, our show's only an hour long.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know I'm giving a really long explanation for that, but... Yeah.
Okay, so I got to tell you something. When I was 17, I went to college in Oregon, right?
Yeah.
So I had these really cool images of what it was going to be like to live in the dorm. I figured I would get there and I would be bunked with this really amazingly cool guy athlete and we'd become really good friends and bond for life, right?
I know where this is going. It didn't work out.
Well, I got to school, and my roommate was Orlo Baldwin.
Orlo?
Baldwin.
Baldwin.
And he looked like Poindexter, and I'm not kidding. Orlo, if you're listening, I'm sorry. He was 36 years old, had been going to college since he was 18. He was a junior.
What?
I know. That was my first roommate in college. 36 years old, I was 17, Orlo Baldwin, and he was bald. I was 17.
He wanted to practice.
I don't know, but I hope your experience with your roommates.
So when it's just weird, like when they filled out like roommate or like the person who goes through like.
I didn't request a 36-year-old.
Yeah,
guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like they go through, they're like, I think a 17-year-old and 36. Yeah, it goes great together.
Well, my dad's cousin was the president of the school, and I figured he thought maybe I would be better off with an old guy. I don't know. That was my freshman year. Yeah, so I wore my little beanie, and he made fun of me, but he was Orlo. So I hope your experience is better.
I hope so, too.
So are you having a good pre-birthday? Your birthday is actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. So my plans are...
Remember, this show's only an hour.
Yes, I know.
So go quick.
Okay. Breakfast with family, and then going on a harbor cruise, and then a party at night.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. What fun.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
Party time tomorrow night. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We'll talk to you a little bit later.
All right.
Hopefully before your next one.
Yes.
Wow, Leah. What a real spark.
She is.
Yeah, great intern. Couple of things before we get to Mitch, though. Tomorrow, Big Boys Toy Show at the Del Mar Racetrack. In fact, I think our sister stations are down there broadcasting live from there right
wonderful.
Now.
Oh, wonderful.
I don't know why they didn't invite us down. What's up with that? They invite 1090, but they don't take us down.
We're better heard, not seen, I think.
Is that why?
Nice,
it's because they're sports guys. They're famous. They're you know, it's like Billy Ray and the other athletes that do that show. They're
running and the jumping.
Yeah, I know. And they're going to have really cool stuff. Bikes, electronics, giant reptiles, an obstacle course. For kids, it's ninja, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. Virtual reality. Like I said, I'm really excited about the giant reptiles, and I hope they're not, like you said, the blow-up reptiles, because... That just wouldn't be that fun. It starts at noon tomorrow, goes till 6 p.m. It's $10 online. It says only $10 in advance, but the funny thing is, it's only $10 if you buy it at the gate, too. So you can go there. But it says Big Boys Toy Show, but it's also for big girls and little kids.
It's family.
It's
and there
family.
Might be a limit, so try to buy early, because it's possible it sells out. So it might be the same price at the door.
Okay, you're working it there.
Well, I'm trying to get people
Seriously?
Online. Go online, buy the tickets. They want as many people there. It's going to be a great time.
You really think they might run out?
Well, I think for the audience doesn't
know. That was
a
good attempt at selling tickets, but I'm not sure that's going to work so well.
Well, I hope they do. I think they're trying to raise some money for a good cause. And
we'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We're going to be there, too, so people
yeah,
should
you'll
show
be,
up.
We'll be there tomorrow. You'll get to meet us in person.
I'm taking pictures of you running
that's
Ninja
worth
course.
That's $10 alone.
And fighting with the blow-up reptiles. Just saying. I'm getting pictures.
And then what?
And then it goes viral.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Famous for the wrong reasons.
Famous for the wrong reasons. Okay. I lost the word of the week. I love my word of the week. Guy whining.
Yes.
Guy whining is the word of the week. It's the act of guys whining. But remember, guys, if you're going to guy whine, you must ask permission if there's a female in hearing range.
It's mandatory.
And the rule is, there's always a female in hearing range.
Yeah, I'm here to testify.
Yes.
Yeah. I give you permission.
Yes. So guy whining, ask permission.
Right.
Guys, you're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. Mitch Thrower is with us. We're going to talk with an amazing entrepreneur when we get back. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We've got a lot of good stuff for you. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Today we're broadcasting from the ESET Studios, ESET Internet Security. Do more. Want a podcast of this show? Of course you do. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. We're talking off air, but well, not off air for Facebook Live. By the way, you can see us on Facebook Live.
Yes.
Biz Talk Radio. Check it out. We're talking off air about my word of the week, the guy whining, right?
Yes.
And our voice of reason, Ken's off air, but he was saying, is that like the if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it? It kind of is, right?
No.
Yeah. No?
No.
Oh, well.
You always need permission.
Let's move on. Mitch Throwers with no connection to guy whining at all. Mitch, welcome.
No connection.
Glad you're with us.
Great to be here.
Last time I saw you was, 20 years ago,
it
maybe?
It must have been 20 years
it's
ago.
It's a long time ago, and your career has just been like a rocket ship since.
Oh, thanks. It's been a wild ride.
It probably has, because I've been following you. You started off in the internet world. I think your first company was RaceGate, right?
That's correct.
That's where. And I remember when we met, You had a small space and you were hiring almost daily new people, and everybody was crammed into every little place you could get. And you taught me about this new way to measure time called internet time. And you did everything fast. You moved through the office fast. You drank your coffee. Everything was like, you got to get it done because things are moving quickly. And that worked out really nicely for you.
It is. It's like dog years, only digital.
Yeah, yeah.
Times two.
Wait, there's a word of the week there, I'm sure. Somewhere in there, there's a word of the week in there. So give us, we'll get to your current venture, which is probably one of the most stellar things that's happening in the world today on the internet. And I think it's very exciting. But can you catch us up a little bit with your kind of your path and how you've gotten where you are today?
Sure, the career path. So I originally started on the East Coast. I started a company out there that was doing travel products. We put Eurail passes online and we digitized Eurail passes. This is in the kind of mid-90s. Sold that
before 90s. The Euro dollar?
It was before the Euro. Sorry. And we also were, you know, early on in taking things onto the web. And then I had kind of a dual career path after that. I did a leverage buyout of a magazine called Triathlete Magazine. Had some wonderful partners. And we actually did the acquisition over a decade period. And then we flipped that into a private equity shop called Falconhead, kept some of the equity, and then we built that and kept going and scaling, and that company ultimately sold to a group called Calera Capital, and then it recently sold again. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience going through the process. And parallel to that, I had co-founded Racegate, which became ActiveNetworkActive.com, and that grew and became a digital force. And now we're doing the next chapter, which is Events.com.
That's exciting. I mean, and you are a triathlete as well.
I am.
Ironman triathlete, right?
I am.
That's impressive. So you've combined a passion for triathlons and running and swimming and biking into the business world, and you have a passion for building businesses. What a nice combination. You wouldn't think initially you could marry triathlons and internet and make them work together because they're two completely disassociated ventures, but you've done well with it.
Yeah, and I think in everything you do, you can look around for clues. And I can remember being at the Ironman, and I think it was 94, was the first year I raced. And at that stage, it's your first time in the big event down in Kona. And you think, wow, this is it. I'm going to be a professional triathlete someday. And you're dreaming of that. And then you hear them announce the winners and you hear the prize money and you think,
well, they win $100 or something.
Yeah. Well, they're doing much better, much better now than they did in 94.
But back then, the purse wasn't that big, was it?
Back then it was small. Yeah. And so you look around for clues, and it's like everything in life. If you look around for clues, you can see. I mean, everything in this studio was once a neuron in somebody's brain, and yet now we can touch it or someone sold it to us. And, you know, it's that process of looking around for clues where is value being exchanged in and around your passion? I think there's this expression, do what you love and the money will follow, which I think is wrong. I think it's...
Really? Now, okay, now that's interesting because that's a very common business expression. So I'm really interested in where you're going with that.
Yeah, I think it's false. It's close.
Yeah.
But what you really should do is find where value is being exchanged.
And learn to love that?
No. Almost, no. Find where value...
Don't jump the gun.
Find where value is being exchanged in an area that you love.
Yeah.
And then get involved in that. Because if people blindly do what they love and don't look for the value exchange, then they're going to be stuck trying to figure ways to generate revenue and income, et cetera.
Because no matter how much you love badminton, right. No matter how much you love it, I would imagine it's really difficult to imagine becoming a billionaire off of badminton.
Yeah, somebody's niche sports, you'd be surprised.
Well,
you'd be surprised.
I wouldn't doubt that maybe one day you could, but right. I see what you're saying.
Right.
So if you love badminton, maybe the value that you can create in that area isn't enough to support what you want. So there's other things that you can love as well besides badminton.
Or
maybe manufacturing shuttlecocks.
Yeah, exactly. Or
I'm surprised I even know the name of those things.
I'm impressed.
Or Badminton Magazine. Or,
there you go.
You know, a tournament or an event associated with something that you love.
We're going to invent a new business while we're sitting here. I'm pretty sure about that. Somebody's going to go away
badminton
and create
today.
Something. Yeah, there we go.
So you're finishing these races. You're realizing that even the first place winner is not making an incredible living. What did you recognize about being a triathlete or about that space that allowed you to start your company? What was your aha moment saying, this is something that I can actually make a living doing while staying in the space that I actually absolutely love?
Well, I had come out of the digital space in the early days, having created the Rail Connection, and then we sold that. So we were looking at putting products online and taking a look around. It was obvious that media was going to change. Media was going to go through a very dramatic change with the onset of the internet and with digital currency.
But this
and
was
so
back
forth.
In the late 90s.
We were early.
So
we were
you're
early.
Saying
started,
it was...
I started on the web in the 80s.
But you're saying it was obvious. But there's a lot of people that went through the whole 90s and never even knew the internet was happening. Did it become obvious to you because you were forced into using the internet because of your connection to the Eurorail? Did you find that,
that
as
was a part of it, although I was also, if people out there remember, a Commodore 64,
yes,
which was one of the very first computers.
Yeah,
the tape backup machines.
Backup,
I was actually coding back in the day and getting involved. And, you know, that it was for me, it was, you know, an early adopter at that stage. And I went through these periods of being an athlete and developing because I had fractured my knees. And so when I became an athlete, I was a lacrosse player in high school, and then I fractured my knees in college, had four knee surgeries, that Forrest Gump moment when they can tell you you're running again, you can run again, and you get something back that you've lost. And it's like everything in life. When you lose it, you appreciate it and respect it so much more. And so as I got back into sport, I kind of still had this passion for technology and thought, okay, there's an area here where things can change. And then, you know, even now, there are things that can change even in a broader based space outside of sport. So,
you know what amazes me is when I hear a guy like you talk, you know, you go back through your history and say things so matter-of-factly. I built a company that sold URL passes and then I sold it. Like, that was easy to do, right? I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of intent and struggle that happened on that. But we're not going to have time to talk about all that as we move forward.
Oh, you learn a lot.
But
I
can imagine you've done so much, but none of it is matter of fact. I don't think anyway. Mitch Thrower's
heavy
with us.
Listening.
Entrepreneur, financier, author, and 22-time Ironman triathlete. Wow. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but did you know you could watch us too? Watch us on Facebook. Visit our Biz Talk Radio page. Share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, Bob always enjoys your likes. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, and yes, you can like me.
He will feel so much better going into the weekend. Help him, please.
How many viewers do we have on Facebook now? Like three?
Don't say. It's going to be depressing.
Wait,
well, they all come afterwards.
I know. That's what's really funny, though. It's so weird. You look at Facebook Live, and there's only a few people watching when we actually do this. And then we get thousands afterwards that look at it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
It's just, I wish we had thousands while we were doing this. I guess every... Wait a minute. Here's what I need. Everybody that's listening in your car, raise your hand right now. We'll count.
One, don't forget two. Our international folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
We should call it Facebook.
You stopped
tape
counting.
Delay.
You should have kept counting.
No, two.
Facebook tape
that was,
delay.
I got to two.
You should have called it. What did you say? Facebook Lite?
Facebook tape delayed.
Oh, tape delayed.
Nice.
That's cute. You know what? I guarantee you there's somebody out there driving the car that raised their hand, and they went, oh, my God. Mitch Thrower's with us. And thanks for being here, Mitch.
It's great to be here.
Great career. Wonderful, wonderful options that you've had offered in the that you're offering to people on the internet for the cool things that you're doing. We kind of got a little bit of feel for your early career in developing a company that did URL passes using the internet, and then you kind of saw it early in the 80s and 90s, the internet coming. We were talking about aha moments just a second ago. Did you have an aha moment in your life where you realized the internet is the coming thing? Like, it is real. We're going to have convergence. We're going to be sending letters on our phones, watching television on our phones. The world's going to change. Was there a moment, or did that happen gradually over time for you?
I think there was an incredible sense of comfort when the web was, it gave you the gift of being able to interact with technology the same way your mind works. I mean, just like our voices are like a mouse, and you click by saying to someone, you know, imagine what you saw the first thing this morning. You're clicking the mouse and you're linking hyperlinks in their mind. And almost every human interaction is based on hyperlinks. And if you're interacting with people, you're going through that process. And so for me, it felt natural.
So once the transition sounds like after it went from just being text on a screen to being manipulatable, where it's a visual user interface.
It wasn't just data coming to you. It was interactive.
Precisely.
And then all of a sudden, now you've got the whole world available.
Yeah, it was the connection. It was really the web, you know, the early days of CompuServe and AOL and clicking hyperlinks.
I remember when we switched from bulletin boards to the internet, right?
That's right, BBS.
Yeah, yes. And then you got off the bulletin boards. By the way, you were an early adapter.
Correct.
I was an early adapter. I'm one day older than Bill Gates, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I know. I'm going to give him the benefit of my one day someday. I'm going to let him know that he needs to go back to college and get a degree because he'll never amount to anything without that, right?
Awesome.
So I got a degree in computer science years ago. And then I got out of the industry because I saw no future in it. This was in the late 70s, right?
Yeah.
You could do accounting and inventory control, and it's like that bored me. So I went into finance instead. It's like, oh, well.
Exactly.
Oops.
really is the Wild West. It still is the Wild West. Technology is still
really
the Wild West.
One of the most amazing things. I imagine that back in the early 1900s, when automobiles were coming on the scene, electricity was coming on the scene, that it must have felt somewhat the same to the world back then with all the changes. There were people saying that cars will never make it. If you go over 47 miles an hour, your heart will stop. And the electricity's too dangerous. It'll never catch on, right?
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, it does.
And then taxis are disrupted by Uber and, you know, real estate with Home Bay and, you know, all the different things.
And I'm anxious to get to where you are today, so let's catch up because you are doing some disruptive things.
We are. Something very disruptive.
But from RaceGate to Active, and then what
happened? That actually went public, and then it sold, and then it sold again recently, and so...
Were you involved in the IPO?
I had left the company back
before
in 2004-05, back in the day, which was great. And then that was when I entered into the path with Competitor Group and the magazines, and then... Now with events.com, which is the next generation of event management software.
Well, let's talk about that. This is your current company, events.com.
That's correct.
So if somebody out there listening wants to check it out while we're on air, don't leave the Facebook Live page.
Yes.
Just move it over and open up another events.com page.
Right.
Yeah, open up a new tab, right? Yeah. Go to events.com. They can see the site there, right?
That's correct. It's events.com, and it's really taking advantage of a few things that have happened in the industry. And it's a very unique industry. The event industry has changed dramatically as the millennials want to do more things.
Let me stop you for a second.
Yeah.
The events industry.
Correct.
That's probably a new concept to most of our listeners. We think of manufacturing industry or automobile industry, but an industry around, do you actually have like events conventions?
There are.
Is there an event?
Convention. There is. There are event events all the time, and it's growing at an unbelievable pace.
So it's actually an industry. So if you hold an event convention, who goes to that convention? People that do
event
events?
Planners,
event
organizers.
Planners.
Exactly. People so that have events or produce events or
can
involved in events.
Can you get a degree in event planning now? I mean, is that like a
there
thing?
There are classes you can go to, but I don't know about
not
a full
degree. Not an actual degree yet. I bet
that's,
soon
that's
there will be,
right? Coming. Mm-hmm. It's probably coming.
Okay, a new thing.
It's a new thing. It's a new thing.
The people that are utilizing your site, are they the ones who are having a one-off event and they just don't want to put all the effort into creating the back end and so they'll go to you? Or are these people, I mean, in San Diego, we know of Comic-Con is that big yearly event. Would even something like Comic-Con or something that's been around a long time that might have their stuff together, you know, their act together, would they still benefit from using your services?
Absolutely. And we handle enterprise customers. We handle self-service customers, people that just want to throw an event and be up and running quickly. What we tried to do is create something incredibly simple to use and also on the back end incredibly productive. And if you look at the trends in the event industry, not only is the number of events growing exponentially because people want to do more things and they're buying less stuff, people collect experiences now. And you see the selfie generation, the millennial generation, people want to do stuff. And so that's the event management software market is growing. It was recently growing at 8.8% compound annual growth rate. Now it's almost a 12% compound annual growth rate.
Wait. We have the Internet of Things. What about the Internet of Experiences?
There we go. That's it. I like this.
The Internet of Experiences.
That's it.
We're coining that. That's going to be our word of the week.
Internet of Experiences.
The Internet of Experiences. So I like what you just said. People are collecting experiences. So back up 1 second to the time before Racegate and Active and Events.com existed. The need was there. Why? Because you were doing triathlons, right? Is that where the basic concept came from?
Yeah,
is people are gathering together and there's no common way to register and pull it all together? Is that what happened, or was there some other incentive?
If you go back to sort of the Jurassic period, you find people on paper and pen mailing in things, and then not knowing if, when they go to an event, if they're actually registered. It's surprising to think that there are still a lot of companies out there that are still doing paper and pen and PDF registration.
Let me ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come back and find out why it was invented and then what's happening today with it invented. It's really cool. Mitch Thrower's with us. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
Yes, you are.
I forgot who I was.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take this moment to thank our engineer. It's Friday. I can't talk today.
It's been a long week.
Thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, our music by Derek Audette, our intern, Sarah, Andrew, Deidre, Chrissy, and our birthday girl, Leah. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, here with Mitch Thrower. Mitch, thanks for coming in.
It's still great to be here.
I'm glad you're happy to be here, because this is cool. You've had a great career. We've kind of caught everybody up onto the current model, the idea of starting an internet-based program that allows you to register for events came from the fact that there was a lot of paper and pencil, and you're saying that people are still these days using PDF registration and paper and pencil to do things. Move on from there, because you were right in the middle of talking about
that. There's a few, in many industries, there are certain shifts, maybe tectonic shifts. The first one was going from paper to digital in the registration space. And that's everything from Broadway show tickets to movie tickets to, you know, all the things that you can think about buying an experience. And the next shift, really, in this industry, things didn't get more consolidated as most businesses do over time. They've got more fragmented. So if you're an event organizer today, your life is kind of potentially a mess, because you have one company who's powering your app. You have another company doing your ticketing or registration. You have another company doing your email marketing. You've got yet another company that's going to power maybe a check-in app. And then you have a digital company doing your lead generation.
And so if you're going to have an event with 10 people there, it's not that huge a deal. But if you have 10,000 people,
exactly,
all of a sudden now you can have a nightmare if one of those pieces of the puzzle doesn't work.
Right. And they change over time. And so, and they don't talk to each other. And so all these different systems, these disparate systems, have been developed over time and have been sold to the event organizer, and they don't typically talk to each other. And
kind of like how I think.
Yeah, it's like not connected.
Disparate thoughts that don't talk to each other.
And there's kind of a new, obviously, manifest for a lot of these businesses, whether it's Shopify or Magento or a business that has something called an open API or an application programming interface, where you can connect your entity and your technology to another technology easily and seamlessly to have them have a more functional enterprise. And so that's really the mission. The mission of events.com is to make the organizers' lives a lot easier, and also to help them make more money, because we are completely going to disrupt the pricing model around event management software. So
now that is interesting, because we had Ken Patashner on yesterday talking about disrupting the real estate model, and we have a lot of disruption going on in the world. Help
it's
me
the
understand
buzzword these days, right?
It's
in the tech world, you want to be a disruptor.
And again, you want to be a disruptor.
And again, the way I think, everything's disrupted, right? So, tell me the pricing model today is, when you talk about pricing, are you talking about the money that the participant in the event pays? Like if it's a race, there's an entrance fee generally for somebody to participate. Is that the pricing you're talking about?
Partially. Because when you think about event management software, you have to take a step back away from registration and ticketing, which is a component of the pie. And you think about all of the things.
So it's not just purchasing the ticket.
It's not just purchasing the ticket. It's things like managing their sponsorships. It's things like marketing their event. It's things like connecting your participants while they're at the event. And it's also things like checking them in at the event. And today, they're all typically priced separately. So an organization would pay one company to build their app, another company to help them
raise sponsorship,
another company to do marketing, another company to do registration. And so for an organizer to come in and sit kind of at mission control and have a dashboard for managing their event and actually make their life easier, there's another kind of thing that comes right behind it, which is how do you help that organizer make more money? And that's part of the secret sauce that we are getting ready to unveil with events.com of helping those organizers generate a lot more revenue for their event through different channels.
I can't even plan a birthday dinner. I've always been in awe.
But you can do it on events.com if you want to.
You could. And so what I was going to ask, I've always been in awe of people. It seems like you have to be a certain personality type to be a planner, whether it's a wedding planner or whatever. You have to be OCD about organization.
Right?
And so it sounds like this is for those people who don't have those capabilities.
We are your OCD.
You are the OCD.
We take care of you. We are the OCD component.
And you said birthdays are okay. So there's no minimum size for
any
type of event.
Yeah, we do heli-ski tours. We do charity galas. We do festivals. So we do running events.
Is the pricing for the event manager based on a per-person thing rather than a flat fee?
It depends on the services.
Okay.
Right. So at this stage, the current iteration is priced. You'll charge a per-participant fee. And then in the kind of unveiling of the revised pricing, you'll see event organizers have an opportunity now to generate some additional revenue through events.com.
So could we take an example like a race? That's something you're very familiar with, right?
Correct. Like the La Jolla Half Marathon.
There we go.
Take
an example.
You can register today for the La Jolla Half Marathon. They're running a Labor Day special.
Let me guess, are they using events?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
If they're having, say, 15,000 registrants, or how many people they think are going to run, could they then go out and sell advertising space for that because they know so many people are going to come? Is that part of the way they can monetize it?
If you look at the event space today, it's probably the greatest unwritten media canvas that exists because organizers are woefully perhaps inexperienced in understanding the value of what they have. And so we're helping those organizers understand the value, quantify the value, monetize the value through events.com.
Let me take it back down to the basics again for just one second.
Sure,
We have a race like the La Jolla. It's a half marathon. And how many participants ballpark?
Oh,
I mean, we're talking thousands?
It's thousands. I think it's, four, five, 7,000, somewhere there. I don't know the exact number.
There's an entrance fee for everybody that participates, correct?
Correct.
So that's a revenue source for the event organizers.
Correct.
So they make money that way.
Yep. Organizers also generate revenue through sponsorship.
Okay.
They'll generate revenue through a host of other ancillary services.
Real quick on the sponsorship, are the sponsors sponsoring it like maybe Gatorade would sponsor it because they're going to be racers there and they want their name again in front of people that are dehydrated,
Correct.
So that kind of thing, shoe manufacturers, other equipment, clothing, that kind of thing.
And I can't dive in too deep. I can say that if anyone's out there as an event organizer and wants to understand how to generate more revenue with events.com on their event and get more participants, then they can certainly contact us. But I don't want to, because it's going out publicly, don't want to let the competition really understand our disruptive pricing model. So there's a secret sauce
in events.com.
Yes, a few.
That you're not going to reveal the recipe to.
Our clients know.
Most successful companies, it seems like that's the case. There's some sort of secret sauce, something they're doing that really separates them.
Well, there needs to be something to separate them for the competition, right?
Sure.
Right.
So is events.com, do you stand alone in the industry or do you have a significant amount of competition now?
You know, there's some wonderful competition in the event space, and competition always makes you stronger. Also, sometimes
keeps you sharp.
It keeps you sharp. Also, the industry is just so massive. When it's growing at 12% compound annual growth rate, which is massive growth.
Is it growing because more people are doing more things? Okay, that's why.
Exactly.
So it's not that we've always done this much and now people are just making
partially because people are using more and more software to manage those, and then also partially because the overall space is growing.
Well, we've always had birthday parties, family gatherings, those are events,
Yeah.
We've always had weddings, we've always had funerals, we've had races, but you're saying there's a lot more events coming up. We'll find out more about those when we get back. Mitch Thrower's with us, events.com. Check it out on the internet. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Lots more when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We're broadcasting today from the ESET studios. ESET Internet Security, do more. And if you want to get a podcast of today's show and any of our previous shows, go to ESPN1700.com. Now we're talking. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. If you didn't catch the first part of the show, you can catch the first part of the story, which I think is a great part of the story. You can catch it on the podcast. Go to, it's ESPN1700.com, right?
Yes.
That's where they can get the podcast. You can hear the whole show. And what I really love about that, make sure if you listen to the podcast, you at least get 5 minutes in. Why?
We get ratings.
We get brownie points for that.
And it's got to be within 24
happen.
Hours.
Yes.
Tell all of your friends.
And ratings are a big deal to us right now because, you know, we just started here a month ago? Are we in our first month still?
As a daily, I think we're still in the first month.
So we need ratings. So go to the podcast, listen at least 5 minutes. Even if you don't pay attention for 5 minutes, at least let it run. That way Nielsen will pick up and we'll get a brownie point for it. And it doesn't take a lot to move the needle on Nielsen ratings right now, especially 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know?
Well, it's Friday. But a lot of people are driving Labor Day weekend.
That's a good
point. That's right. They should be listening to us.
But if they're listening on the radio, unless they have one of those receivers or transmitters on their belt clip, Nielsen won't know they're listening. But on the podcast, they actually know because they encode the broadcast.
That's great.
And then if somebody listens to the podcast, so brownie points for podcasts.
Jeez, podcasts and
who
likes.
Knew?
There's no stopping you.
I know. Who likes?
Well,
like
Twitter. Twitter started as a podcast subscription
Did it really?
Company. Yeah, lots
Is
of companies
right?
have started as different businesses than they originally were.
So
yeah.
One of these days, I might be at the helm of a major tech company.
Yes, absolutely.
What a dream.
You can pivot and iterate right
I'll
into it.
I'll be like a Mitch Thrower. The power you must have is amazing. I mean, you really do. You have the ability to move markets and things with what you're doing. That's got to be a cool feeling, being where you're at right now.
I think we're going to change some things.
Really?
I think we have some really big ideas and some wonderful people that are supporting us. And I think the events.com story will be one that will be heard in many places around the world.
It's interesting that the industry that you're in right now, 20 years ago, did it even exist? I mean, an events industry?
It existed in kind of scratch pad and people trying to put things together. I mean, people have been putting on events since really the beginning of time, probably.
But have they been meeting and having conventions and sharing information and newsletters and magazines?
Quite a bit.
So you're in an industry that's relatively new compared to like trains and automobiles and housing and insurance and things like that. And now it's because it's still in its somewhat infancy, right? I know it's matured a lot in the last few years, but still in its infancy. It's ripe for a lot of corrections and movement and really...
And the best technology.
Yeah.
If you talk to an event organizer, they'll say, it was one of my father's favorite phrases was, wouldn't it be great? And that's always a solution that you can find to solve for someone. And if you can do it technologically, and we are really, truly blessed with some of the greatest technologists and people that have built a system that is so advanced that we can answer the question, we can answer the call of wouldn't it be great? And if you talk to an event organizer and they say, wouldn't it be great if, and then have that solution for that organizer, it's just a great thing to be able to do. But it is ripe for a total shift, and the industry is exploding in its growth.
Now, Mitch, you said a few minutes ago that you have this secret sauce that you don't want to reveal in the air about some of the things you are doing now to disrupt the industry. How many different pieces of the industry are there to disrupt? Because you talk about the ability to generate revenue through ticket sales, through merchandising, and through sponsorship. How many different components can you be involved in disrupting? Or is it kind of like a bubble, a top-down kind of thing that it all gets disrupted at once?
Does
that even make sense?
Yeah, it does. Okay. I think I see what you're saying is on one hand, of course, pricing needs disruption in the space.
And pricing
basically
for
helping the organizers helping the organizers make more money, save more time, rather than pulling the value away from the organizers, which I think is the way the industry started to go.
Okay, I don't quite understand what that
means.
And
that's sort of intentional.
Okay, so that's the that's what you're talking about, then.
Exactly,
okay,
exactly.
So that's why it's fuzzy. You really don't want it to be that clear.
Okay,
got it.
And, you know, I think one of the things...
That just makes me want to ask more about it. You know that, right? The minute somebody says we can't talk about that, that's exactly what I want to talk about.
As one of the best interviewers in the world, you're probably I'm going for the jugular.
Unfortunately, if I do that, I can't have you back, and I want to have you back. So you do have this kind of ability to disrupt pieces and components as well. As the bigger picture? Is that what I hear you saying?
Correct. Changing the way people interact with their events that they manage and also the way people interact with the events that they attend.
Are events often under-sponsored? Is that a big margin for improvement?
Massively.
Really?
Massively under-sponsored. The efficiencies in that space are tremendously challenged. Yeah. And so, you know, that's an area that we're obviously very keen on.
One thing I would think of being somebody who hasn't planned major events would be, where would you start? And I think this is what you're doing at events.com is, this is not only where you start, this is where it starts and finishes. It's a turnkey operation. If you're trying to plan an event, I am curious. I know a lot of these major events, especially you talk about the La Jolla Marathon, you've got to get permits and things like that from the city and work with them if you want to put a concert together. Is that even something that you guys can help with? Is working with local governments to figure out who you would even need to talk to at City Hall or whatever, like all of that stuff that needs to get done?
Yeah, so we can advise the customers and the clients on at least the steps that they need to go through because of our experience with the customers that we have in different local governments. We don't actually do the permitting. Of course, it has to be done through the city. But
the brain trust you've accumulated with all the
years.
Different events around. So that
Correct.
Data, that this is something interesting that I think a lot of guests that come on that are in this space, that we talk about the service they provide, but the back end of this.
Oh, the back end is so
is
helpful.
The data that you can use to distribute information and make things more efficient has got to be phenomenal.
Right. And just organizers that need to know when to raise their price. They need to know when they should send out marketing campaigns. They need to know what should the marketing campaign should say. I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement for folks that, I mean, a lot of event planners are hobbyists. They have another job and then they also run a 5K race or they're involved in something else.
Or they're a hobby train enthusiast and they want to put on a train event for,
something. And so
I went to one of those. That's why I thought about that.
And they don't have a team typically to support them. And so I think one of the big differentiators of events.com is we actually have a team that supports the event to get to the next level.
So,
and that's something different.
When somebody goes through you as the event planner, do they have to, I know you didn't want to talk too much about your pricing, but do they have to pay you up front or does events make their money when they start bringing people in and maybe taking a small percentage of the ticket sales or whatever?
Well, I guess you're asking
on
about
the back end.
How the pricing model works.
So I'll say currently the event organizer is actually not making a payment. It's totally free. If you're an event and you want to put your event on events.
Okay, now that's interesting. We didn't even bring that up yet. But
it's completely
free to the event manager organizer, right?
Correct.
Can you gauge interest and say if we don't sell X amount of tickets, we just won't have this event? So kind of dipping your toe in
that's
the water.
That's a great question.
We give them a complete customizable dashboard so they can monitor everything that's happening in real time.
We'll finish up with that question when we get back. Our last segment, it is our last segment. Wow, yes. Time goes so fast.
Why am I?
I know. Our last segment's coming up. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. Mitch Throwers in studio with us. Great story under his belt. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
One more segment when we get back. The best is yet to come. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. On Monday, our guest will be James Heller from Wrapify. You know those cars you see going down the road and they're all wrapped in graphics? Well, that's James's company. And Clay Malug with Water Pigeon. He's got some interesting new technology on the horizon he's going to share with us. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. The Wrapify,
yes.
I'm really excited about that because I want to wrap my car in something. I don't know what.
Yeah. And his story, he's a Forbes 30 under 30.
Is he really?
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. He's a really interesting,
and
or
then,
at least it seems it.
Water Pigeon is a
yes.
startup.
Yes.
They're in incubation right now. They've got this wireless transmitter that you put on the cap that goes on your water meter.
You're going to have to turn in on Monday to find out more about it.
What, are you stopping me
yes.
from telling everybody?
Don't give it away,
I thought that
Bob.
That was so cool.
Don't
okay.
give it away.
Never mind then. All right. back to Mitch Thrower. We were talking about the model that you have, the pricing model. Just real quick to sum that up, because I want to get to your thoughts on kind of the startup industry, the general entrepreneurial industry in Southern California here. But it doesn't cost anything to the event organizer to use events.com.
That's correct.
The revenue comes in when people start signing up, buying tickets, paying registration, that kind of thing. That's where it comes from, right?
Correct. And our goal is to amplify the success in terms of revenue and effectiveness of the organizer through technology.
Outstanding. And I don't know, when I talk to you, I don't know whether you're more excited about the triathlon and the market that you're in for running and all that, or whether it's the internet.
Everything.
But
and that's something that's shifted.
You really enjoy
in my
all
life.
Of it, don't you?
And I've enjoyed my experience in sort of endurance, but I definitely think that when you look at the event world and what people do to have fun, it really is bringing people out of here, right? Everyone's on their phone and they're in this, you know, digital world and space. But when you bring people experiences and you help them have a more effective experience interacting with other people in the real world, it feels great. It's just such a fun business to be in. And that's why we really enjoy what we're doing at events.com.
One more comment before I get to the entrepreneurial thing. You see people on their phones everywhere. I walk into a restaurant, there's five people sitting at a table. Every one of them is on their phone,
right? Texting each other.
Exactly. But you don't see that in a triathlon too much. When somebody's swimming, riding their bike, or running, they're generally not on their phone texting, right?
Yeah, and hopefully. Events
hopefully.
Have really, hopefully. But events have really become almost the island that has saved a lot of industries because, for example, you look at music.
Now that's
musicians aren't making
I never
as much
thought
music
about that.
Are making as much revenue as a musician, but they're making a lot of money by producing
it's
music
all
events.
Yeah.
If
wow,
you look at media and different companies, it really events are this kind of island of impenetrable revenue success that organizations, whether you're a media company or a musician or whatever it is, it's,
we
it's
are a
way
a social
to generate.
Species.
We are.
We don't go live off. Well, some people do go off and live in the desert by themselves, but we generally live in communities, right?
And the foundation of all human experience
is interaction.
The foundation of all human interaction is common experience. Right, so that is, or all human relationships. That's right. What the foundation of all human relationships
is Emerson?
Common experience. I don't know who that is.
Oh,
I don't know
who it is. That's gonna.
It sounds.
Well,
sounds I grew up.
We'll have to Google it. It might be me. It might be Emerson. I don't know.
I grew up going to church, and I always wondered why people just didn't stay at home and watch it on TV. But there's a corporal worship experience. There's this thing about getting together, like going to a football game. You can watch it on TV, but there's
common
something
experience.
Amazing
common
about
experience.
Being there when they run out on and the cheers and everything.
Well, and to that point, running a marathon, when you run by yourself, you feel really alone. It's interesting on race day. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it, but it's such an individualistic thing. And then when you get together with 10,000, 15,000 other people who are just doing this for hours, you know, on end, it feels like this collective, even though nobody's talking to each other.
I have yet to experience that model.
It's really an odd sensation. I imagine it's almost like marching, you know, when troops are marching together, you get in sync.
That's
and it's
a great point.
You're just this unit. It's this hive mentality. And cool, I think as true. Much as we're individualistic people, we want to have that type, that sort of hive mentality experience.
Now, we're running, that's the world of events.
We're running out of time, and I want to get your take, because how many companies have you been involved with in your career?
A few, 10 plus.
Yeah, that's a lot for most people, especially at your age, to have that many under your belt. You do most of your work in the Southern California area, right?
I do. I came to Cal. I wasn't born in Southern California, but I got here as fast as I could.
Where are you from?
I'm from the East Coast. I grew up in New York and Connecticut.
Okay, so you came out here. You've settled here. Why not the Bay Area? Because if you're going to start companies, especially in the digital space, it seems like the Silicon Valley and the Bay Area would be the place you want to be, because that's where everybody says the capital is. What are you seeing? Because you're very involved, not just in your companies, but other startups and other entrepreneurs. You do a lot of work in that area. What do you see happening in the Southern California area?
Well, I think people mistakenly think that Northern Cal or certain regions are where they will be successful financially or raising capital or hiring, et cetera. There's definitely an intensity in different sections of the world. In terms of just the areas of interaction. But when we live in a global society, we have events.com has investors and partners in Hong Kong and London. I mean, there's this thing called Skype and FaceTime. And what people don't realize, a lot of the entrepreneurs that you'll hear complaining about, you know, capital sources, is they'll say, well, there needs to be more capital in San Diego. Well, get on a plane and bring the capital to San Diego. And there's plenty of capital for great ideas and for great opportunities.
So what you're saying is don't wait for it to come to you. Go make it happen.
Yeah, make it happen. I mean, there's nothing, you know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, first, entrepreneurship is an endurance sport. And more importantly than an endurance sport, it's a global sport. And you cannot...
There's got to be a lot of parallels between a triathlon and entrepreneurship.
Is transition areas, yeah. All that. But you don't want to peg yourself to a region. You want to enable yourself to grow as an entrepreneur, as a global entrepreneur, and build your network globally.
So it starts with the mindset of
the entrepreneur. It's a mindset. I mean, what a better place to be than San Diego. The weather's perfect. Everyone's nice. You can get great people who don't have to go outside when it's nice out because it's going to be nice tomorrow. And you've got an
good
area.
Good point. Seattle, everybody, if it's a nice day, they go play.
Forget it. Right. Yeah. So, but if you look at the quality of life in San Diego is so fantastic. So if you can take innovation and the sense of urgency and put it in paradise, you have an amazing culture and an amazing company. And that's what we're doing at events.com.
One of the things that when I first met you and you toured me through your offices at Racegate, you had this sense about you that everything was super important and needed to be done well right now.
Urgency.
And it doesn't seem like you've lost that at all.
It's intensified.
Really?
Yeah, ask my wife.
What would you say is driving you at this point? I mean, it sounds like you've done so much. Why keep taking
you know,
over the world?
Life's a short trip, and you're given opportunities.
The older I get, the shorter it is, right?
Exactly. And every day is a smaller and smaller fraction of your entire life. So I think there are things you can do, and I really believe in helping people get out in the world and do more things. I think that's something that is a mission that needs to be...
That's something we haven't talked about. That's another driver for you, not just your own desires to do things, but you want to help other people enjoy the events that you help plan.
Get back to the world.
Wow.
Right? Get off of your
devices. Do you
get
a free ticket for every event?
Not free.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
You could probably afford to buy them now, though.
Yeah, we could be. Well, we're building and growing. We're certainly looking for people to come join us at events.com. So we're hiring.
You're hiring now?
Correct.
Ken Potashner was on yesterday. He's hiring.
Yep, he's one of our advisors.
I like people that come on that hire.
Mm-hmm. Ken's great.
He is. So what are you hiring now? Digital technicians?
Development, sales is the core of our hiring at this stage.
And I'm guessing the corporate culture at events is
pretty
cool.
It's so important. You know, there's an on-site gym, there's ping pong, foosball, and on-site restaurant, and... you know, it's just a great place to be.
Are you going to buy Segways for everybody at some point?
Of course, it's a sublease. You know, you got to go sublease. So you got to be a smart startup.
Very well. Yeah. Mitch Thrower, thank you so much. I want to follow this along. Hopefully, you'll come back again.
Great. Well, check it out. Wonderful to be here. Thanks again. Wonderful to see you again.
Good to see you, my friend. Mitch Thrower, let's say goodbye for the week. You've been listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Lantana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
You go have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.